أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We began with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We began by seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah, the most, or the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask for Allah's protection in all of our affairs. We ask that Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the burden of our evil deeds. We ask that Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the evil that resides within us. We know that whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leads astray or allows to be led astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and his noble servant. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the privilege of being here today for Salatul Jumu'ah. We know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who bestows upon his servants the tawfiq, this success that only can come or be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that there are those who are amongst his servants who were given the ability to be here but not the will, while others were given the will to be here but not the ability. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us both the will and the ability to be here today for Salatul Jumu'ah, giving us the will and the ability to remember him today for Salatul Jumu'ah, and not as individuals, but we come together to form Jama'ah. We come together to form a community alongside our brothers and sisters and with our families present. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful privilege. Brothers and sisters, earlier last year, after delivering a khutbah at one of the local masajid, an individual approached me. An individual who approached me, he began to cry. He began to weep. And he said that he suffers from depression. He is very sad. And he continued in saying that he has a beautiful family, he has a job, nice salary, and he comes, he frequents the masjid, and he prays alongside his brothers in Jama'ah, frequently. But yet still he suffers from this deep sadness, depression. And shortly after that, during the month of Ramadan, after attending a program, or while attending a program and delivering a talk, after this talk, another individual came and approached me And again, this individual, a man who, from the outside, from looking at him, you couldn't tell what he was going through. But inwardly, he let me know that he was also going through depression or suffering from depression. And that individual, too, had a beautiful family. Your father was a husband. He frequented the masjid, but yet and still, he didn't know what to do about his bout with depression. And both individuals asking me, Imam, what do I do? Imam, what do I do? You see, the culmination of my experience in working in the prison as a chaplain, also working as an imam in the inner city, and also having these experiences of individuals who, from the outwardly, seem very faithful, but yet still suffer from depression, there's a few things that I had to realize from these experiences. The first thing is that mental illness is a real illness that affects our religious spaces. Another thing is that mental illness doesn't have a look. A person can have financial ability to do the things that they want to accomplish. They can have a beautiful family. They can look healthy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are healthy mentally. And also I realize that as an imam, I don't have the tools to really deal with the realities of mental illness. And much of my training didn't help me as far as I need perhaps more training on dealing with this mental illness. And then also as a masjid and as a Muslim community, perhaps we're not equipped to deal with such individuals as these two individuals who wanted to know, what do I do as I suffer from mental illness? You see, the problem in our religious spaces is that there's a stigma against mental illness. You see, if I were to take a survey, even ask you all, who takes medicine for an illness such as diabetes or even cancer? Many of you all wouldn't be afraid to admit that you take medicine for these diseases. But then you have a disease with shame. Those are diseases without shame and stigma. But then you have the diseases with shame, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and depression. And if I were to take a survey and ask who takes medication for these, many of us would be afraid to raise our hand and admit because of the stigma that has been placed upon these diseases in our religious spaces. And we have to realize that as a religious space, we have an opportunity for us to earn barakah, to earn the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on how we deal with one another. We have this idea that when a person has mental illness, they lack tawakkul ala Allah. They lack trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or when a person is dealing with anxiety and depression, that they are not performing their prayers on time, or they're not performing their prayers at all. Or perhaps this person isn't getting up for tahajjud, or reading enough Quran. We have this stigma. But it seems faithful individuals who suffer from anxiety and depression, this was a wake-up call for me as an imam. Also in our religious spaces, we have an idea that a person who's going through mental illness is possessed by jinn. They're possessed by jinn. Or that a person who's going through mental illness is experiencing sihr, this black magic. And I'm not saying none of these things aren't real. These are real, as Allah mentions in the Quran. We seek refuge. We seek refuge from the witches that perform the black magic, who blow on the knots. So I'm admitting that these things are real. But this is not always the case on dealing with mental illness, as we see faithful individuals who suffer from this. As moving on in our community, we have to realize that our greatest role models were susceptible to mental injury. We have the example of Musa alayhi salam, وادي موسى عليه السلام اسال الله سبحانه وتعالى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري. Why did he ask him to expand his chest, expand his tolerance? From the experiences of Musa alayhi salam, how he had to deal with his people. He said it's time to fight. His people said, you and your Lord go on and fight. He had to face Fir'aun, having to deal with Fir'aun. He was susceptible. He was vulnerable in regards to his mental capacity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to expand his tolerance. And why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah mentions in the Quran, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, did we not expand your chest? Did we not give you mental consolation for all that you are going through? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't expand the tolerance of these individuals? Or expand the tolerance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and give them du'a, give them the tools on dealing with their situation. We look at our role model, Ya'qub, who having to hear the news about his beloved son, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his response in the Quran after hearing this news, he says, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَا عَلَى يُوسَفَ وَبَيَدَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَدِيمٌ. So he mentions, and he turned away from them and he said, how great is my grief for Yusuf. And his eyes became white with sorrow as he was suppressing his eyes. Imagine going through something to where you cry so much that you end up blind. You cry so much that you end up blind. This is not normal crying. This is not a normal situation. Yaqub having to deal with this situation to where he needed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him tolerance. A crying so much to where his eyes became blind. We have the story of Maryam alayhi salam going through things that perhaps will cause us psychological trauma. Her response in the Quran, mitu qabla hadha, ya laytani mitu qabla hadha. As she mentions, oh, I wish I had died before this. Going through the trauma to where an individual says, I wish I had died before this. This is our role model, Maryam. Our role model having to experience such an experience to where she would make the statement that she wished she had died before this. The Muslim community, Am al-Huzn, this year of grief, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being tested, losing his uncle and his wife in the same year, losing the individuals, his beloved companions in battle, having to go through this sadness, many of us having to go through things, knowing that a part of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, that we're going to be tested with moments of fear and anxiety. Do we think that we are not psychologically vulnerable in what we're going through? Was it a coincidence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua calling on Allah, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this alham. And alham, it can be translated as worry, but it's a particular type of worry. It's worry about the future. And this is a type of anxiety that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sought refuge from alham, alhazn, and this deep sorrow and sadness. This is a type of depression. This is the type of depression that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring him through those trials. And ironically, we have the two most challenging of the mental illnesses are anxiety and depression. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought refuge in Allah from these two. As a community, first of all, Islam is not dismissive of mental illness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was attuned to the psychological needs of his community. The individual approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his response, لا تغضب, don't become angry. لا تغضب, don't become angry. He was attuned to the psychological needs of his community. As a Muslim community in our history, 8th century, Baghdad, the first psychiatric hospital built in Baghdad by Muslims. There's no conflict between seeking professional and also seeking spiritual remedies. What do we do when we break a leg? Don't come to me if you break a leg. Don't go to the imam if you break a leg. Or if you come to the imam, a religious environment, let's make dua, but then let's go to the hospital after that to seek professional help. And it's the same with mental illness. Yes, let's integrate the two systems. We have this traditional system, let's make dua, but perhaps also we may need to see a therapist. And I'm not advocating any type of medication, but I'm also advocating that we need professionals that deal with this matter. And we should emphasize this amongst our children, that the Muslim community, upon the things that we are going through, having to hear ourselves being called terrorists, you think we're not susceptible to mental illness in our community. I want to ask the brothers to move forward, inshallah. So a few things that, before closing this first part of the khutbah, we need to make sure that we normalize this topic as a topic of discussion so that we can get rid of the stigma and change our collective attitude towards mental health. We need to change our collective attitude towards mental health, because one of the greatest sources of suffering is stigma. It's stigma when a person has an illness that they're dealing with and they can't get married in the community. Or people are staying away from this individual because of this stigma. We need to remove that in our minds towards one another. Instead of looking down upon each other, seeing how we can build each other up. We're in a society, looking outside of this religious space, what people have to go through in this society. Where you have now 26% of the adult population in the United States suffer from diagnosable mental illness. 26%. So you think that's not going to affect the Muslim community, especially going through what we're going through during this particular time? We need to really normalize this as a topic of discussion. And then the first thing is acknowledging our own brokenness. Our traditional scholars talked about this first station of awakening to our own issues. I have to acknowledge my own issues. You see, even the individuals, some of us say, and I would argue that all of us suffer from some type of mental illness, everyone in this room. And perhaps the one who is not ready to admit that, perhaps that's a condition within itself. Perhaps that's a condition within itself. All of us need to awaken to our own brokenness in order to better deal with one another. And also not attributing mental illness with a deficiency in faith. If we see someone with mental illness saying, oh, that brother just needs to get married. That sister just needs to get married. No, if they don't take care of that illness, perhaps marriage would only exaggerate that illness. We have to realize this, that we don't, oh, that brother or sister just needs to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or perform their prayers. Who am I to say that this individual is not performing their prayers and not waking up for tahajjud? Who am I to say that about an individual just from looking at them outwardly? We need to really work on this with one another. And then also the masjid being the safe space. A safe space, the importance of eye contact in our religious spaces, this ibtisam, this sadaqah, this smile. What does a smile do to individuals who may be suffering from some type of mental illness? What my smile can probably placed them in a better psychological state. Or being avid listeners to one another and stop quoting so much. We're quick to quote, and not quick to listen to one another. Learning how to listen, how much listening to each other does. And having and building friendships with one another. See, I don't need a degree in psychology, or I don't need any training in therapy to be a friend to my brother, to be a friend to my sister, for sisters to be friends to other sisters, brothers to be friends to other brothers, for community to be community to one another. We don't need degrees for that. We have to be there for each other. And we're dealing with the sunnah of the most empathetic human being to ever exist, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had this quality of ta'atuf. The most empathetic human being to ever live. See, this empathy is ta'atuf, this is feeling with the people, not just sympathy or feeling for the people, but feeling with the people. In closing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. Allah, He mentions, there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves, and it grieves him that you should receive any injury. And he grieves over you. To the believers, he is most kind and most beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt with the people. He cried with the people. He was short in the salah. Out of empathy of the people. If he heard babies crying, out of empathy for the mother, he was short in the salat. He told others who were potential imams, don't listen to prayer. Think about the weak. Think about those who are older in your ranks. This is empathy. And in closing, there's an important dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which within this, it contains really information on how we deal with one another on this particular du'a. As this is a du'a mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma fa'ayyuma mu'minin sababtuhu, faj'al dhalika lahu qurbatan ilayka yawm al-qiyamah. This beautiful du'a, oh Allah, if I should ever abuse a believer, please let that be a means of bringing him near to you on the day of resurrection. Imagine that. The Prophet ﷺ didn't want any abuse for another believer. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that to be a means of bringing that believer closer to him if he shall abuse that believer unintentionally. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places that empathy within us. And I say simple message. That mental illness is real illness. And some of us are suffering from it. We have to be there for one another. We have to lift this stigma, remove this stigma, and begin to have conversations about this. And most importantly, begin to work towards building a community with one another. A community of love, compassion, and mercy. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد we end with the story about the death of Ja'far Ibn Abi Talib, as he died in battle, and this was against the Romans, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to deliver this news to his family. And it's narrated that Abdullah ibn Ja'far, the son of an individual who just died in battle, he said that I recall the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to my mother, and he brought her the news of my father's death. Imagine having to go and deliver this news to a family and their father had died in battle. So he brought this news to the mother and he says that the son, he said, I remember that he, after calling me and my brother, he was stroking my head and the head of my brother. And his eyes were pouring with tears until they dripped into his beard. And then he said, "Oh Allah," he began to make dua, "indeed Ja'far has been given the best rewards. So bless his children with a better recompense. That which you have blessed, that you have not blessed any of your slaves." In this story, we learn how to cry with one another. The Prophet ﷺ, upon stroking the head of these two young boys who were orphaned, their father had passed away, he didn't just allow them to cry. He cried. He felt pain along with them. And as a community, we need to have empathy as such, to begin to cry with each other, to begin to not only feel for each other, but to feel with each other, to the best of our ability, to feel pain with each other. And this is the beauty of the sunnah that we follow. Brothers and sisters, mental illness is a real illness. It's a real illness that even afflicts those with faith. It even afflicts those with faith. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا رب، رب العالمين، رب السماوات والأرض. يا رب، lighten the burden of those who are suffering from depression. سامين. We ask you, Ya Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, O Allah, you are the creator of everything in existence. We ask you to lighten the burden of those who suffer from anxiety. We ask you, Ya Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, Rabbul Samawati wal Ard, to protect us, protect our psychological states, our mental states, and allow us to continue to build community, keep our families together. We ask you, Ya Rabb, to be merciful upon us. Are you you are the one, Arham al-Rahimeen, you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Inna Allah ya'muru bil'adli wal-ihsan wa yita'i bil-qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal-munkari wal-baghi yadhkurukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkuru Allah ta'ala yadhkurukum wad'uhu yastajib lakum. Waladhkuru Allah ta'ala wa 'awna wa 'azza wa jalla wa 'azama wa akbar wa aqimus salat.